Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Spirit of America Party, the Spirit of America Party book, and the Spirit of America Party, a radio show. I was just watching Fox, and John Stossel has a show, and they had a girl on, very beautiful, nice blonde, and she was talking about banning ice cream trucks from the front of schools. How far do you want to go? Who is running your life here today? Why are all these people in Washington and in government passing all these mini crappy laws, okay, when they should be out looking for a job? They should be part of the unemployment roll because they have too much time on their hands and nothing to do. It's disgusting. Absolutely disgusting. But that's not what I'm going to talk to you about tonight. I had a beautiful show put all together for you, and I came out of what I was doing to get a tune to add to the show, and I wiped out the whole show. I have to learn that I have to save anything before I make a move. Don't make a move until you save anything. While I'm talking to you right now, if I have to stop this thing, I'm going to save it. And I'm never, ever again going to move out of one function to do another without saving the work. And if I had listened to my teacher in the beginning, I wouldn't have this problem today. He told me I was too quick. What can I tell you? Some people can only accomplish one thing an hour. I accomplish one thing a minute. Of course, I don't do it as well as the guy who can do one thing in an hour, but I can do 60 more things than he can. Yeah, you know what I'm talking about. Oh, today in the history, 1918, Russia's Tsar Nicholas II and his family were executed by the Bolsheviks, who are now here in this country in the Obama administration. Right now, all they're doing is passing legislation, but soon, when the going gets rough, they will be rounding up all the liberals. They'll kill them first because they're the ones that brought them to power, and they don't trust them. Oh man, are we in trouble? In November, you're going to find out if you got a country. And already, I can see everybody's going Kaliwali. Kaliwali is Arabic for this and that. Let me talk about the NAACP. I'm going to tell you a little story. When I was a young man, right out of high school, I took a job with a New York company on 57th Street, and it was a nice company. It was a nice sized company, and it was just starting to grow. And when I got the job, when I met my fellow workers, you know, at the ground level, you know, you come in at the entry level, and I met my fellow workers. I got to tell you this, my fellow workers, there was a guy who loved to fish. He lived to fish, and he was in the catalog department of this company. And every weekend, he'd be at Montauk Point surf fishing. He loved it. He lived for it. But every morning when I get out of the 8th Avenue subway on 57th Street, I would pass a church that was packed. And the doors would be open because they didn't have air conditioning back then. And standing in the back every morning was this guy. He was a deeply religious guy. And I was impressed. I was impressed with this guy. And he was good at what he did. And he was, you could see, he was a guy that was, he was working his way through life. He wasn't going to stay in this position, in this company. He was going places. So I always admired him for his religious dedication. I could never be like that. So God punished me. He introduced me to a Upper Manhattan Irish Catholic girl who went to St. Vincent's, and he saved me. Now I go to church every time, and she says I have to go. Who wants to disappoint a woman that good? Who wants to disappoint a saint? But anyway, I've been very fortunate in that regard. And best decision I ever made in my whole life. And I don't think I had anything to do with it. I'll tell you this much, I had two guardian angels that were alcoholics. But anyway, we're talking about Tsar Nicholas here, and then I'm going to tell you about that job. Tsar Nicholas and his family were such a threat to the communists. They killed them all. They killed the children. And this is what we do in the United States. The communists are killing the children. Hang in. I just got a phone call. It might be the president. Yeah, I was right. It was the president. He wants to know if I can lend him 20 till Tuesday. Oh, man. Are we in trouble? Are we in trouble? Where's your money? Is it in the stock house? Huh? Which one? Goldman Sachs that just got fined $500,000 for playing with your money?
$500,000,000.
Huh? Are you with Chuck Schumer who wants to seize Exxon and seize your 401k? Because I guarantee you, if you got a 401k, you got Exxon stock. Yeah. Oh man, are we so misled? If we were with Moses in the desert, we'd be going in 70 different directions. How sad. So going back to the Bolsheviks here, killing the Romanov family, they killed little girls. And now we do it. Now we do it. We got the Bolsheviks beat. We kill 1,200,000 American babies. Only American babies. We don't kill Mexican babies. We don't kill Ugandan babies. We kill American babies. Isn't that wonderful? Huh? Aren't we proud as a nation? How are you going to stand before God and say, I didn't have anything to do with it? We are not political. How are you going to stand before God and tell him that in your country, that he gave you as a gift, that to show your appreciation, you looked the other way while 1,200,000 American babies were slaughtered? And if you ask Chuck Schumer about it, he'll tell you they're only tissue. And he'll also tell you that abortion is settled law. How can child murder be settled law? How can you let this happen in the United States? Yet you, if somebody breaks a fingernail, six rock groups stand up to do a concert. 27 folk singers jump in line to do a concert. We'll do a concert for the suffering people. And they're all down at the abortion clinic at 9 o'clock in the morning to get the first cut. Come on. Are we crazy or what? How can a guy like Jesse Jackson stand outside a prison with a candle protesting the execution of a murderer and at the same time a woman he got in trouble is in an abortion clinic? How can you do that? Is that alleged? Is that a rumor? Is that fact? I don't know. But I just wonder. I wonder. How can a guy get a girl in trouble and then beat her up so that she doesn't, so that she has to abort, so he doesn't have to pay for the kid? Is that human? And what's the difference between him and a doctor that tells you that after this operation, after this procedure, you may suffer weeping syndrome, which means like the GIs that have battle fatigue, that jump up in the middle of the night screaming because of the horrific scenes of war? You're going to have the same thing because you killed your kid? It's sad. I don't even want to get into it. That isn't what I wanted to talk about tonight. But just remember that the Bolsheviks murdered an entire family. And you know what I say? If you grew up in the Soviet Union, if you were a communist, you have no religion. You have no religion. You were brought up in a godless society. How do you know right from wrong? Are you colder than a Christian? Are you more indifferent than a religious person? Do you have a soul? I don't know. I don't know the answer to that. That's one for the psychiatrists who are not crazy. I don't know. But anyway, they murdered the entire Romanov family, and they threw their bodies down a well, down a mine shaft. How's that? This is the founding days of communism, and now there are more communists here than in Russia. And they're sitting in classrooms, and they're poisoning your kids' minds. They're sitting on benches, and they're making rulings that will take every freedom that you have away from you. They're collecting your taxes. They're giving you summonses. They're taxing you ad infinitum. They have made collaborators out of every merchant in the country. Every merchant is now working for the government and doesn't get a paycheck. He has to collect and protect tax money. They're going to fine BP $4,985 a gallon of oil, or a barrel. I think it's a barrel of oil. And who's going to do that? The government? And why are they doing that? Because there's good money in disasters. The same government that sent OSHA inspectors to drive American industry to China. The same government that sent EPA inspectors to drive American industry to China. And you see what's happening in China tonight. One of Honda's factories is on strike. The people want another nickel to add to the nickel that they make for the day. Okay, so now the Japanese, who are exploiting the Chinese, oh man, I don't know. I don't know what we're going to do. I think the entire country should partake in the play Joseph and His Coat of Many Colors, and we could throw the kid down a well. Because we are no good. We are absolutely no good. It's unbelievable what we're allowing to be done to us in this country. We don't stand for anything. When they're teaching sex education to five-year-olds in Montana, you know you lost your country. You lost it. When they call illegal immigration immigration instead of illegal invasion, you know. You've been buzzworded to death. When the NAACP calls the Tea Party, those Gray Panthers out there, racists, you know that labeling is here forever. Labeling. Unbelievable. Now, let me tell you a story about the NAACP. When I told you about that guy that every time I went to work in the morning, he was at the back of that church. He went to Mass every day. All right? You know what kind of guy that is? That's a guy that if they say you got to go and serve your country, he goes and serves his country. And if they tell him you got to die for your country, he's going to die for his country. He's a self-made man already, as a young man. He knows right from wrong, and he has integrity. And I admired him for that. So, we both worked at the same place. And when I got there, you know how when you first start in a new position, some people play jokes on you, they trick you, you know, they send you for left-handed wrenches and flume paste. You know, and they also, they clue you in. So I was clued in. And here's the clues that I was given. They say, Tom, what are you doing here? Do you know this place is all Southern Baptists? This company is owned by rebels. You're not going to go anywhere in this company. You're a Catholic. just like many Jewish guys heard that you'll never go anywhere in the phone company. Did you ever hear that one? Ask a Jewish guy that's been around for a while. But anyway, so they say, you're not going anywhere in this company. You're a Catholic, and these people are all Southern rebels. Now, this is before integration. So I go into service. I do my 2 years. I push up my draft right out of high school. And I'm running basic training, and I'm running with black guys. I'm sharing the same foxhole and patrol with black guys. I'm living in the barracks with black guys. And I grew up in Washington Heights, and I went to school in Harlem. And I ship out the... So we're down in Fort Hood, Texas. And the same black guy that I know that comes from Brooklyn that I served with and ran basic training with, we get a pass to go out on the weekend. He's got to go where the blacks go, and I go where the whites go. And I could see him on his pass. He was not a happy camper because he had a lot of pride. And all of a sudden, he was a second-rate citizen. He had to go to the back of the bus. He had to drink out of his own fountain. And I was sitting in a bar one night, and a local black guy stuck his head in the back door, and the bartender said, "What do you want?" And he goes, "Can I get a drink?" He goes, "Wait there, I'll bring you one." Because he couldn't come into the bar. So I get out of the service, and I return to this a rebel-owned Southern Baptist company. And I'm clerking. And a girl who works there, an employee, she takes me under her wing to train me, to teach me how to do posting and other clerical jobs. And she's very nice. She's very dedicated. She's a good worker. And she's light-skinned, but if you ever seen the movie Pinky with Jeannie Crane, you can see that she has certain features and talks a certain way, and you can see that she's colored in some way or fashion. So the sales manager, and colored was the word at the time, the sales manager takes a liking to me, and he's from Atlanta, and while I'm working, he's chatting, he's doing his job, and he's chatting with me in his office, and he goes, "Do you like Marilyn?" I said, "Yeah, Marilyn's good, she helps me a lot." He says, "Would you like to have sex with her?" I said, "No, I don't think so, you know." And he starts laughing, and he goes, "Do you know she's black?" And he starts laughing. And I said, "Yeah, I know." So, time passes. I get a new sales manager, and this sales manager, I go in on a Saturday, and he's got a guest who's come into the big city from New Orleans and from Louisiana. And this guy is a big shot in the company as a customer. And he's got 42 stores. And they say to me, I get introduced as a boy who grew up in the alleys of New York. Now, as far as I'm concerned, I'm the son of a king. All everybody in my neighborhood all dresses the same as I do. We got $2 sneakers and $5 dungarees and a t-shirt. Who's poor? The only time you ever found out you were poor is when it snowed and the rich kids brought out sleds and you had to ride the linoleum. But then the rich kids couldn't ride the linoleum in the summertime. I mean, they couldn't ride the sleds in the summertime. We could still ride the linoleum down a chute, down a cobblestone chute. But, yeah, I get introduced as the kid who grew up in the alleys of New York. Apparently, if you're from New York, you must have you had to grow up in an alley. Now, he happens to be right, because when my friends called for me, I lived on the fifth floor. They used to whistle up in the alley. AOD! So, he goes, the guy from Louisiana says, I can't understand this problem we're having with these Negroes. He goes, we have plenty of Negro servants, people that we know, and my wife gives them her old clothes. Gives them all her old clothes. And I said, gee, that's wonderful. that's very Christian of you. So you can see, there's trouble in River City. And come Christmas time, they're planning for a Christmas party. They're having their annual Christmas party. And I get the sales manager says, Tom, we used to have our Christmas party at the Holiday Inn, but they're headquarters now for the NAACP, so we're canceling. And I said, oh, that's wonderful. And that's nice. So the curtain falls and time passes. And what do you think happens? Oh, by the way, the guy who told me you'll never move ahead in this company because they're all rebels and Baptists. He also told me that the depression is coming. And I'm still waiting for it, even though it's coming closer and closer right now. I mean, he's off by 40 years, 50 years. Yeah. So what do you think happens? There's a guy moving up the ladder in the inside of the company. He went to Georgia Tech. And how he got his job? He babysat for the owner of the company. And the owner of the company talked him into going with this company. And he came to New York. He's a New Yorker. He's a Bronx Irish Catholic. And they put him in charge of the warehouse. And before you know it, he's transferred to Atlanta again, and he becomes president of the company. But while he was in New York, all the rebels came up for a big shindig, a big hullabaloo. And it was a Friday, and it was a big luncheon. And this guy, the president, John, he was responsible to provide a real good meal for these guys and take good care of them. And they all sat down on a Friday, and they all had swordfish. Because, as old Catholics know, there's no meat on Friday. So you see, what goes around comes around. You never know. In the meantime, the NAACP was doing the right thing by its people, but not today. Today it's hijacked, just like Islam. And there's too many game players using too many good people. And for the NAACP to play the race card on the Tea Party shows they have ulterior motives, and it's not the interest of the black people, in my humble opinion. So I just thought I'd let you know that. And let me take a break, and when I come back, we'll talk about something else that'll jar your grandmother's preserves. One of my new sayings is that prejudices sometimes are formed by experience. If you're an 11-year-old young black man coming home from school and you see 16 white guys lynching your uncle who has loved you all his life and did nothing to harm anybody, you're going to be prejudiced. If you're an Oriental girl who gets raped by 5 black guys over 3 days, held hostage, in an apartment, you're going to be prejudiced. If you're a newcomer to the United States, coming from Scotland, and you open up a grocery store on 137th Street and Amsterdam Avenue, and your first customer is a big black guy, and he comes in and he beats you up and he robs you, the next day at work, another black guy comes in, you're going to be apprehensive, and you're definitely going to be prejudiced. If you're Jewish and you're smacked around by a Nazi wearing the death's head uniform and beating your grandmother with a truncheon, you're going to have a bad feeling about people that speak with a German accent. So, some prejudices are formed by experience. Probably most are. Okay? And if you're a Southerner who fought in the Civil War, believing in the cause that you were fighting for, and your cause wasn't slavery, it was states' rights, and you lose, and you're beaten to a pulp, and you manage to survive a concentration camp, and you go home, and some carpetbagger is coming down there to take your property, you're going to buy a white sheet and a hood and get a gun. Okay? So, you got to remember that. Life is not fair. All you got to do is go to court, and you'll find that out. So, some prejudices are formed by experience, bad experience. If you're an Indian girl in Yemen, walking down the street, and young children stone you for not being Muslim, you're going to have a bad feeling about Muslims. If you watched your son die on 911 in a building that collapsed in 1.5 minutes, crushing him and the girl he was trying to save, and you watched Arabs giving out candy in Palestine and in Brooklyn and in Newark, and Mayor Bloomingdale calls you un-American because you don't think a victory mosque should be built 600 feet from where the DNA dust of your son is, and that girl. Your son who was going to be married in 2 weeks. You're going to have that prejudice feeling against Muslims. Every time you hear the words Allahu Akbar, you're going to be very, very distressed. And for Mayor Bloomingdale to appoint the chairman of Community Board 1, a woman, and get her and her 28 accomplices to vote unanimously to approve that jihad victory mosque, Mayor Bloomingdale should be run out of town on a rail. He should be tarred and feathered and put on his bicycle and made to pedal over the George Washington Bridge. And anybody, any politician who is hiding from their responsibilities, Chuck Schumer, Nadler, Ackerman, Cuomo, they should all be driven out of office. They cannot be allowed to stay in office. And never forget, the three that I mentioned, Schumer, Nadler, and Ackerman, all voted to burn the American flag, to let it burn, calling it freedom of speech. And they all vote the death penalty for American children. They call it pro-choice, but they got no baby pictures. They are our worst enemy, our worst nightmare. If they can vote to let the American flag burn 40 days before 9/11 for Schumer, 55 days before 9/11 for Ackerman and Nadler, and Anthony Weiner. There's another one. Where's Anthony Weiner? If they can do that, how can you trust them to protect your interests in anything? You think about that. And you can add the upstate phonies, too. Like Baloney Maloney, What a disgrace. And the other one who took the place, the other senator, the senator that they slipped in when everybody was asleep. I forget her name, Chris Kringle or something. They vote party over country. Party over country. They do not vote representing their constituents. They vote what Nancy Pelosi tells them to vote. Party over country. The Republicans, they're not as bad. Once in a while, one of them flares up and shows a little courage. But if I had my way, I'd fire them all. If you're on the precipice, you're on the horns of a dilemma, you're about to lose your country. Last night I did a show, it was called Mel Gibson Lost His Mind, but you lost your country. You have lost your country. You got one chance to get it back. You got one chance to get it back, and that's in November. And everybody who votes for Kagan is your enemy. Everybody who votes for Kagan is your enemy, and the Republicans who vote for Kagan must be dispersed. Yeah, they're going to pay the teacher that's doing it after he comes out of the porn movies. Yeah, are we in trouble? What a nation. We used to be great. We used to be great. I think if the World War II generation could rise up and see what's going on, they would kill us all. They would kill us all. They would turn the flamethrowers on us. And the sad part is everybody's vested because they're vested in their children. And ask any father that's over 60. Ask any father that's over 60. Can he talk to his kids? There's a talk show host on. He says that he went to college and he was the only one in his class that loved his parents. And that's when he knew he was going to be a conservative. Everybody else hated their parents. And I can recall a time, because my wife reminds me about it, during Nam, when a girl stood on the steps of Columbia, room and board paid for by her parents, $40,000 a year tuition paid for by her parents, and you know what she was doing on the steps of Columbia? She was denouncing her parents. Remember when they said, don't trust anybody over 30? Now those people that made that rule are in their 60s. Should we trust them? Unbelievable. And I'm listening to three eminent guests on a talk show, and they're all talking about how much they like the Rolling Stones. And these are conservative guys. Oh yeah, I like the Rolling Stones. And I did a bit on the Queen of England being interviewed, and I asked her, should Mickey Jagger be knighted? And the Queen says he should have his tongue nailed to the gallows floor. Yeah. Mickey Jagger, that's their role model. And here they are, they're talking conservative talk to you. Yeah. Because it pays to be a conservative. You don't have to practice what you preach. Show me anybody who practices what they preach. John Edwards, does he practice true love? Mel Gibson is torn. He's torn into 17 different pieces. He knows he did the wrong thing. He can't live with himself. He's self-destructing. You know what I pray? I pray that his wife and 7 kids go to his hotel and bring him home. I know it's not going to happen because he's probably done too much damage. But I pray that if God wants to show mercy to Mel Gibson, he convinces his wife, Robin, and their 7 kids to gather themselves together and go to him when he's sober and bring him home. And that would be a wonderful thing. With no self-inflicting wounds to anybody. Where it's a one peaceful healing. I know people that have been drunks, and when they're drunk, they're horrible. And I know people that fight that curse. And I know a great man who was 8 years, a father, who was 8 years on the wagon. And you know what happened? His son died of an overdose of drugs. And he went back to drinking. But God is good. And if you try and fight it, God will help you. And you know how this guy got helped? His daughter, who he loved, gave him a grandson and brought him back. And he was married to a saint. And he had a lot of help. And in his final years, he was the greatest guy that ever lived. But when he was drinking, he was a nightmare. So, and if drink is bad, you have no idea the damage that drugs do. 90% of all crime in the United States would be gone tomorrow if you got rid of drugs. Why are we into the jungles of Colombia, burning down cocoa leaf to paste of factories? Why are we doing that? Why are we spending money to do that when the real problem is the buyer? And who's the buyer? It's Junior and Sis. They're the buyers. And the sellers. The Rockefeller laws should have been doubled. It should have been the death penalty for anybody who sells drugs. Automatic death. Instant checkout. You got the biggest problem in the world. There's not one country, there's not one state, there's not one city, there's not one town, there's not one borough that can put up a sign that proudly says, "Welcome to drug-free Podunk." You can't do it. And it's a two-generation plague. It wasn't here before. What, opium? A little weed? Not like today. Forget about it. Drugs and sex. Two deadly weapons, and if you don't know how to control them, they will kill you. I know a girl who lives in the 50s. It was the greatest time of her life. It was an innocent time. For her, she would go back to it tomorrow. She still lives in the 50s. It was the greatest time of her life. After that, it was hell on wheels. And she survives because she's religious. But she probably has carried as many crosses as Jesus. And there are women who carry more crosses than Jesus. And you don't see them, you don't hear about them. Oh, and here's another problem. 32 GIs committed suicide this month, or June. 32 GIs committed suicide in June. Now, what's the problem, or what's the reason? How many suicides were committed in prior months? What's the record month for suicides? Did less GIs commit suicide under Bush, and more GIs are committing suicide under Obama? What's the story? And I see they got Congressional Medal of Honor winners talking about get help. But you know how you're going to get help when the government appoints a Muslim terrorist as a shrink? Is he telling you to kill yourself? Unbelievable. We're in trouble. We're in trouble. We got too many lawyers, and we got too many government employees. When I come back, I'm going to tell you about my recovery, financial recovery for the United States. Every time it rains pennies from heaven, and that's what we're going to be allowed to keep. The government is taking everything else. There is no bigger a financial junkie than the U.S. government. They've got programs and giveaways that you can't imagine. If they told you all of the government giveaways, buy-offs, payoffs, grants, okay, And I'm not talking about Ulysses on a 20. Grants for things that are undermining this government, undermining this country. You would be sick. You would be sick to your stomach. I also say, if the government had to collect from you every day the tax money it needs to run, the knock on the door would sound like a rat-a-tat-tat all day long. Who's there? It's the Department of Health and Human Resources. And what do you want? We need money for AIDS. How much you need? $20. I'll see you tomorrow. Yeah, knock, knock. Oh, who's there? We want money for the agricultural department. We want to pay a guy not to grow corn. How much you need? $20. We'll see you tomorrow. Yeah, you know how long that would last? You know how long that would last? By the 30th knock, you'd be coming to the door with a gun. Oh, man. Are we in trouble? And the healthcare, they're going to destroy healthcare in this country, and you're letting it happen. They have already destroyed the education system. The kids can't add. They can't subtract. They can multiply. But then they kill the results. Yep. That's why they had to pass laws. You don't tell your parents you're having an abortion. It's not good for their mental health. And they don't need to know. Don't trust anybody over 30. Not when you're having an abortion. We're in the abortion business. We're in the drug business. Now they want to legalize marijuana so they can take their cut. This government is bigger than the mafia. They shake everybody down. The symbol of the U.S. government should be the guy in The Godfather Part 1, the mafia don with the white suit that was in the grocer's store opening the register saying, I just want to wet my beak a little bit. And by the way, this is my nephew, Nunzio, useless Nunzio, and you got to hire him. And that's what's coming. That's what's absolutely coming. Small business is the enemy of big government. They despise a small business. They all pay lip service to it, but you know what they want? They want a camera, a video camera, on a waitress's apron where she keeps the money, the tip money. That's what they really want. They're going to have businesses turning in other businesses. You know what's coming? If you buy, let's say it's $1,000 a year from somebody, you have to give them a 1099 form. So now you're going to be in the paperwork business. You're going to be keeping track for the government. I often say, if you want to see how much of a tax junkie the government is, you call the blind sheikh up in Albany. Did you see him signing stuff? He had his eyes on the desk. He's got to get down on the desk to read what he's signing. I wonder how many things he signed quickly. Here it is. Just sign this. But I don't believe that's Governor Patterson up there. I think that's Sheikh Abdul Rahman. I think Governor Patterson is in prison wearing an iron mask. And Abdul Rahman escaped. They brought him to run the state of New York. We're already under Islam. We just don't know it. And New York is not on the defense map in Washington, in the Pentagon. You were taken off the defense map in 2001. You were taken off the defense map before 2001. And you know who put the nail in your coffin? Chuck Schumer. Chuck Schumer voted to have the USS Normandy sent away from Stapleton Home Port after the Navy spent a bundle to build a home port for the USS Normandy, which had anti-aircraft missiles on it, okay, and could have brought down the two planes coming down the Hudson River. Could have splashed them right into the Hudson. And we didn't have any radar eyes. How's that? Unbelievable. So the Normandy got sent down to Virginia, because they're all down in Virginia now. They're all concentrated down there. So the only place you got to nuke if you want to take over the United States is Virginia, is Norfolk, Virginia, and Washington, D.C. You got everybody. Yeah, and if they sound the alarm, Hillary and Chuck will be fighting over the gas masks. Oh, we in trouble, man. We're in trouble. We're wide open. Wide open. We're not even wide open. We're face down, pants down. Wait till these guys come and do 50 states. Wait till they come and do 50 malls. Wait until Osama bin Laden. And by the way, how come we haven't gotten Osama bin Laden? Every day, every minute of the day, they used to say, when is Bush going to get bin Laden? Even the CIA was walking around saying, when is Bush going to get bin Laden? The FBI was walking around, when is Bush going to get bin Laden? And then finally, Scotland Yard caught some terrorists, and the FBI had a press conference praising Scotland Yard. You ever see this Mullah? Every time somebody farts, he puts two more men in protecting all the mosques in the country. Yeah, I think he's going to, when he retires, I think he's going to be an imam. Unbelievable. We are wide open. So what are we going to do? Small business is the enemy of the government. They'd like to tie up small business people with paperwork. They invite them to come to small business conferences in Washington, and they tell them they got to pay $300 up front. And you go down there, and they tell you everything that you already know. And then the guy leaves with $30,000 in his pocket, and you got to hitch a ride back home. Here's what you do for small business. You encourage small business manufacturing, and you start rebuilding what the OSHA and the EPA sent to China. We start to defend ourselves, manufacturing-wise. We resurrect all manufacturing. The EPA and OSHA never went to a foundry and said, you know, you're creating a lot of smoke, and we're on a health kick. And we want to see that the American people breathe easier and better. So what we're going to do is we're going to give you 5 years to put scrubbers on those smokestacks and to capture the bad emissions. But not only that, we're going to get you financial help, and we're going to help you through this, and we're going to give you incentives to do it. No, you know what they did? They said, right now the fine is $10,000 a day. So you better take care of it as quickly as you can. So they took care of it as quickly as they can. They sold their stuff to China. And now China's making the smoke. And we're complaining that they won't raise the value of their dollar. Yeah. So the EPA and OSHA chased all American manufacturing out of the country. Now the only thing you can make is whatever lawyers can't sue you for, which is very little. Now you look at this, the asbestosis problem that we had, because many industries worked with asbestos, making brake shoes, brake pads, wrapping steam pipes with it. A lot of Navy work required asbestos wrapping, fireproofing with asbestos wrapping, and of course, there was a time when nobody knew that it was hazardous to your health. But that didn't stop the government from going back to the innocent and getting them too. Now they have this big, big war chest from bilking Johns Manville and Raybestos. And they're looking for people who have mesothelioma. Even though that generation is died out, there's very few people left. But now they got their children trying to dredge up lungs from the cemetery. Yeah, this is all a big ripoff. And you know who pays for it? You do. Every time big business has to settle a lawsuit, a fine, They raise the price and you pay for it. They cut the services and you pay for it. They lay off employees and you lose your job. And this is how big government is taking over. There will come a time in this country, at the rate that we're going, everybody will be a government employee, including Donna Karen. Comrade Donna Karen. That's what you'll be called once you're a part of the government service. And then one guy will be left working and he'll be paying all the taxes. And the whole country will call. It'll probably be me. And they'll want to know if Tom went to work today. We're in trouble. You have no idea how much trouble we're in. One day you're going to see a president get on TV and he'll be crying. You better pray he's not crying for two reasons. One, the economy's gone. And two, there's missiles on the way. It's going to be hard to learn how to build that wheel. Hang in there. So what are we going to do for small business? Here's what we can do for small business. Get them into manufacturing. Mom and pops. Mom comes in the morning, turns on a light switch, and the cans and the bottles start rolling. Everything goes to work. And they got... And start restoring these small towns and putting manufacturing everywhere and anywhere. The Chinese can do it. Why can't we do it? Right now, China's got a strike. One of their plants that makes accelerator parts for Toyota is not working because they want extra money. They want a decent wage. How's that? They're striking. And not only that, but because they can't supply that one part to another factory, that factory is down because it's waiting on the one part. So they can't make what they're making to send it to another factory who is down waiting also. It's a vicious cycle. And soon you'll see the tanks in front of Honda gunning down the employees that are fired. Yeah. And of course, we're waiting here for the goods. That's going to be fun. And I already see shortages because of the delayed time frame. You know, first in, last out, you know, that crap. Yeah. No reserve, no surplus, no inventory. Yeah, we're going to do it without inventory. Everybody's going to be on time. And one day the inventory doesn't arrive and everybody's screwed. We're going to have to learn how to make money all over again. And one of the things small business can do is there should be an incentive for business condos where whole shopping centers are owned by small business. Everybody buys a piece of the shopping center. And this way, if your business fails and you got to pull the plug, at least you got the real estate investment as a cushion. And speaking of real estate, what is there, 2 million homes on the market unsold? How about when you get a mortgage, you only need 7 years to pay it off? Or 10 years to pay it off? Why does the bank have to get paid the first 7 years on a 30-year mortgage? They get the interest up front before you get credit for $1 of equity in your home. How is that fair? Where is the incentive there to pay your bills? If you're paying the first 7 years in interest only, and the house is dropping in value, why stay? Why would you stay? Equity, there has to be equity up front for the homeowner. And never forget, the banks are borrowing at 0% interest, and they're charging some people 29% interest on their credit cards. The credit card limit for anybody charging credit card interest should be 5%. That's the max. 5. And property owners who live in their dwelling should be entitled to no property taxes. And if you can't do that, It should be for senior citizens. No property tax when you turn 65. Why should a guy who has worked all his life and lived in a community that he loves have to go to Florida to live in a community that he can afford, and he can no longer can afford to live in the community he grew up in? Why is that? Where is the business sense in that? There's a lot of things we can do together if we work together. A lot of things. This government has its hands in everything. You just think about this. Con Edison collects a tax for the government. The utility companies collect taxes for the government. So the government says to Con Edison, look, you know, you got a lot of violations. You know, we send the EPA and OSHA in here. You're going to pay us through the nose. I'll tell you what you do. You collect the tax for us, and you do the paperwork. You bundle the money, and you send it to us. We can't allow these individuals to pay this tax because some of them have no money. And you have a better way of getting the money from them than we do. So we'll lay off you. We'll accommodate you. If you need anything from us, we'll compensate you because you are helping us and you're working for us. So, and by the way, we need 10% more. You think about that. We'll close this segment with a tune. I found one. This is how I lost my original recording today. This is a tune. I'm dedicating this tune to Osama bin Laden. This is called, I call it, the Marine Corps Sniper Tune. Wouldn't it be great if the guy who takes out bin Laden is from New York? Wouldn't that be fantastic? Huh? They got a picture of him like holding Osama up for the camera with the bullet hole right in the middle of the forehead. with the kill, you know, captured. He's got a picture with the kill. And he's got a sign that says 911. We forget nothing. So here's that sniper tune.
at the moon, but I'll be seeing
you. Hi, you boys and girls. Welcome to the Spirit of America Party, the Spirit of America Party book, and the Spirit of America Party, a radio show. I just turned on, I usually don't listen to talk shows on the weekends, but coming home from dropping my loved one off at work, I was listening to Bob Grant. Bob Grant, he's like the Isaiah of talk radio. And then the clock ran out, and I got the fellow that wrote the book, The Manchurian President, Aaron Klein, I think his name is. And that got me, now I'm getting worked up, you know. I started a little mild with Bob Grant, and then Aaron Klein, he gets the blood to about what's the boiling point of blood? But anyway, so, and now he's off, and I think it's a commercial, and it turns out to be a radio show, and the guy's name is, the name of the show is Drinking with Bob. And this guy is typical in New York. He's a bartender, and he's going on and on about all the crap we got to put up with. And he's only making one mistake. He's saying that Mel Gibson, everybody's going after Mel Gibson. He says he's waiting for the news, and he gets 20 minutes of Mel Gibson ranting and raving. He says he's seen worse talk in New York over two people fighting over a parking spot. And then he goes into a situation where he beat a cab out for a parking spot, and he nearly went to war with the cabbie, who was talking jihad. So he said, if you don't like Mel Gibson, all you got to do is don't watch his movies. If Mel Gibson offends you that much, don't watch his movies. Don't watch Signs. Don't watch The Passion. Don't watch We Were Soldiers. Don't watch Braveheart. Don't watch what's on Women's Minds. Yeah, you'll be missing a lot of good movies, all right? So just chalk Mel off to he's drinking vodka when he should be drinking scotch. But he said something that was not true, and I'll tell you what it is. If you want to boycott somebody, you can't today, because the fix is in. If you want to boycott Mel Gibson's movies, you can't do it, because it's part of your TV package. You do not have a line item veto. You can't say, I don't want to pay for any Mel Gibson's movies, because you won't see them. I turned on my TV one night, and the two guys are kissing. I picked up the phone. I called the cable company. I said, hey, I just turned on my TV. There's two guys kissing. And I said, I want it off my cable bill. She said, just don't watch it. I says, what good is that? I don't want to subsidize it. Because today, the media is subsidizing crap that would not sell. And I said, I want it off my cable bill. And the girl says, you can't. It's part of your package. So one day I'm going to be forced to cancel cable, because it's going to be overwhelming. You can see the way it's going. I never seen so many breasts dissected, and women stabbed and terrorized and tortured. You flip the channels, blood is gushing out. It's coming through. It's coming out of the cable. It's absolutely ridiculous. All vampire movies, everybody's sucking blood. Give me a break, man. Can't you be creative? And drug movies. Oh, we got the drug bust, and we got the dumb cops movies, and we got the wild teenager movies in school. And I see in my headline tonight, they're getting rid of a teacher that flirts with the students. And then there's always the teacher. When I went to school, there was nobody having sex with the teacher. You wouldn't even dream of it. You wouldn't even dream of it. And all those teachers were fullbacks. They weren't coming in there looking like Paris Hilton. These women carried pocketbooks with $50 in change in them. And if you get out of hand, you got the pocketbook. It was either that, the battle axe they left home, they saved it for their husband. Unbelievable. But what do you got today? You got pregnancy in sophomore year. 55 girls are pregnant in sophomore year in one school. And they tell me that's the virgin school. How's that? A girl in the seventh grade tells her mother, under peer pressure, everybody's playing Monica Lewinsky, and she can't hold out much longer. In the seventh grade. Who did this to us? The communists did it to us. They infiltrated the schools. They infiltrated the legislators. The legislatures. They infiltrated government. They're passing laws. You know that they want to ban ice cream trucks from being in front of the school? How's that? They're going to have, this is a drug-free zone and ice cream truck-free zone. And the drug-free zone, you can buy cocaine right in the fifth grade. You can get cocaine in the classroom. They got teachers that sell drugs. So what do? They take your eye off the prize. And they show you a pedophile priest. They show you that the Catholic schools are just as bad. I got to tell you, the Catholic schools are not just as bad. Sorry. I'm not saying they were not without sin. They are. But they're nothing compared to what's going on in public schools. Sorry. If you even looked at a teacher in Catholic grammar school, if you harassed a teacher in Catholic grammar school, a lay teacher, and the nuns found out about it, they would all leave their classrooms and come down and stomp you in the hallway. I seen three guys that were butchered by one sister, Mother Eucharistica. And she said, Mr. Ryan, what are you doing standing out in the hallway? Said, I was talking. And she grabbed him, she separated his upper and lower palates, and she was playing Samson and the Lion. And then she said, Mr. McKinnon, what are you standing out in the hallway for? And he says, I was throwing things in class. And he sailed down that hall and hit the wall. And then she said, Mr. O'Donnell, what are you out here in the hallway for? And I said, I was kicking Mr. McKinnon. And she started hoofing my ankles. Let me tell you, man. And I had a buddy that got caught buying candy during Lent. And they hung him in the cloakroom. Upside down on a hook. It's from the cloakrooms are from the Spanish Inquisition. Yeah. And he was ratted out by Rosie McGuire. Sister, I saw Jeannie Freya, and he was buying Goldenberg's peanut chews during Lent, and a Mission Bell orange soda, and that was the 20 cents that stopped us from being number one in the competition. Oh man, better he had martyred the 12 apostles. Oh yeah, and the guy that owned the candy store during Lent, he used to have to get a bridge loan. Yeah it was a library with no viewers. But yeah, so I enjoyed this Drinking with Bob. I think I'm going to like this show. And it's good. And I like the way ABC is going. They are going pro-American. And I hope they continue that way. I wish the TV channel would do the same thing. And follow in the footsteps of WABC, the radio show. And that's good. And now if I can just get a show on WABC, I'll be a happy camper. Yeah. It won't be a drinking with Bob, it'll be sobering up with Uncle Tom. Yeah, you see, the Irish have a trick. They take you out drinking and they go, here, get this in you. Here, have another one, get this in you. And then they take you over to the sink and they go, come on now, get it up. All right, hang in there, we'll have some chuckles. You know what gets me? You know, we're all self-censored. We've been brainwashed. We've been conditioned. Over 25 to 40 years, we've been conditioned. There's certain words you cannot say. They are, they belong to certain groups. You can't use the F word, which used to mean like F you. No, that's not the F word anymore. Now the F word is faggot. You can't say the word faggot, okay, because it offends gay people. And gay people now own the term gay. Now, how can one group of people claim a vocabulary word? Did you know that a faggot also means a bundle of sticks? Did you know that when they burned Joan of Arc at the stake, she was burned by a bunch of faggots? Did you know that the MiG-29, the Soviet MiG-29 fighter jet, the nickname for that plane is the faggot? Did you know that? So, what do you do? If you see a gay guy and you want to call him a faggot, you can't. You call him a MiG-29? Oh, man. Are we in trouble? We have been brainwashed and conditioned, and we're being indoctrinated so that when it comes time for the Muslims to take over... Oh, did I say Muslims? Oh, I didn't say terrorists, or I didn't say the hijacked religion. No, Muslims! Muslims! Don't be afraid to say it. Say, Muslim! Muslim! Yeah. Oh, no, you can't say that. It's not Muslims. It's their religion's been hijacked. Well, boy, they sure didn't put up a fight, did they? Huh? Have you interviewed any hijacked Muslims? Excuse me, sir. Are you a hijacked Muslim? Has your religion been hijacked by terrorists? I can't talk right now. I have a cold. Give me a break, man. Give me a break. You know I'm against the terrorists, but I have to kill you. Yeah, give me a break. Give me a break. Oh yeah, we like to wear the burqa. We love the burqa. Yeah. Well, if you love it so much, why don't you put the men in it too? Yeah. Oh, you can't take my picture because in my driver's license I have to wear the face mask. Yeah, and if you get ketchup on the face mask, it's the death penalty. You can't have your face on the driver's license? How about a fat ass print? Yeah, just sit on the copier. Sit on the scanner. And then we'll show that on the driver's license. And then somebody will have to do a match-up. Yeah, have to send it to Washington, D.C., and the FBI director will do the match-up. Mueller. Did you ever see this guy, FBI director? What does he do? What does he direct? What is it, an act? Is it a movie show? I'd like to thank the Academy. I'd like to thank Chief So-and-So. We did a good job today. We protected all the mosques from the white eyes. Oh, man. Yeah. Don't be afraid to say Muslim terrorists. That's what they are. They pray as they kill you. They shout the second surah from the Quran. They are deeply religious people, and they are following the teachings of their religion. And their religion says, kill everybody. Or make them pay the tax. And a lot of times, look, we don't want the tax money today. How can the people who pray to a merciful God show no mercy? Kill their own children. Walk away from their own families. And then we're supposed to believe it's a hijacked religion. Help! Help! I'm a prisoner in a hijacked religion! I never saw that in a fortune cookie. And even these so-called conservatives, the first thing they do is they do the disclaimer. Do you know there's only one guy on the radio that the network issues a disclaimer when his show is over? Do you know who that is? It's the guy that's banned in Britain. Poor, innocent Michael Savage. The Joan of Arc of San Francisco. The Robert Emmett of San Francisco. The Kevin Barry of San Francisco, sold out by his own people, sold out by the Queen of England, a rebel punished more severely than William Wallace of Scotland. Blessed Michael Savage, who one day will be canonized in the Conservative Party. The John the Baptist of the Conservative Party. And here, they took this guy, this Lockerbie bomber, and BP slipped at the British Parliament a couple of bucks, and Libya slipped BP a couple of bucks, and they got their mission man off the hook. Allahu Akbar. And he got off the plane in Libya, and all of the Muslims cheered him. He killed 270 Jews today. Yay! Oh, they weren't all Jewish? That's what you think. Osama bin Laden says all American taxpayers are Jews. So, take a good look in the mirror, Moish, because you're Jewish, or whether you like it or not. So, one day Savage will be avenged. He may have to build an armada and sail to England and demand justice, a trial by mortal combat. Let me give you a shake-up tune. So, all of these guys, before they go on a tirade against Muslims, and that's who they really mean, but they're afraid to say it, they can't say dial M for Muslim. Because dial M is for murder. So they can't say Muslims. They have to say radical Muslims. So what's a radical Muslim? A guy that runs you over shouting Allahu Akbar with his Suburban, but he doesn't kill you. A guy who calls on the merciful God, but shows no mercy. A guy who kills his daughter because she's wearing Jordache jeans. It's an honor killing. And what honor is there in killing your child? What is the difference between you and a woman who walks into an abortion clinic and says, let's do the 5-minute special? There's no difference. Murder is murder. So here in America, we have laws that say you can kill the kid as long as it's in the womb, and Islamic law says you can kill the kid after it's out of the womb. What's the difference? It's the same act. It's murder. Murder! So in honor of Drinking with Bob, the new show on WABC, which I'd like, bartender, a champagne.
The maid's gone all cranky and the cook's acting queer. Well, a terrible place is a pub with no beer. The stockman rides up with his dry, dusty throat. He breasts up to the bar, pulls a wad from his coat. Puts a smile on his face, quickly touches him. When the barman says suddenly, the pub got no beer. There's a dog on the veranda, for his master he waits. But the boss is inside, drinking wine with his mates. He hurries for cover, and he cringes in fear. There's no place for a dog, round the pub with no beer. his head on any meteor. Then he breaks down and he tells her that the pub's got no beer. Oh, she loves him away from your kindred and all, where the campfire at night, where the wild echoes call. But there's nothing so lonesome, so dull or so drear as to stand in the bar of a pub with no beer.
Welcome to the Spirit of America, a radio show. And as I promised you, an exclusive, and tonight we have it, we are interviewing the Queen of England. Your Majesty, welcome to the Spirit of America Party, a radio show.
Very well. How are you?
Your Majesty, how do you like your tour of the USA?
It's always nice to be in the colonies. I love everybody.
Your Majesty, did you go to Washington to see the President?
No, I'm only going to see white people.
Your Majesty, the President is half white.
I said I'm only going to see white people. I love white people. We have enough trouble with the wogs back home. They're running amok. They're messing up Buckingham Palace. Wearing their burkas. Hiding their faces. Shouting God knows what.
Your Majesty, did you know that President Obama sent back the bust of Winston Churchill to England?
Oh yes, we retaliated. We sent back a Walt Disney star baby.
Your Majesty, were you glad that President Bill Clinton sent Mr. Mitchell over to heal the rift between the Brits and the Irish and bring peace to the Irish people?
Let me tell you something about Bill Clinton. He's a clerk. He's an errand boy. He's sent by clerks to collect a grocery bill. I saw that in Apocalypse Now with Marlon Brando. I love Marlon Brando.
Well, how about the healing process that Mr. Mitchell brought to Ireland?
That jerk, he couldn't fight his way out of a paper bag. He should have left us all alone. We're worse off now than we were before. All they do is monkey face for the cameras.
You know that the President Obama is sending Mr. Mitchell to heal the rift between the Israelis and the Palestinians.
A fat chance that would be. That's ridiculous. Absolutely ridiculous. The guy mocked up the Irish peace talks, and now he's going to talk to crazies. He's going to bring them all back to sanity. Yes, of course. Yes, we'll all wait on that one, won't we?
Do you have an illegal alien problem like we do in the United States?
Oh, yes, we have the Pakis. The Pakis are a burden to the entire country. If I had my way, I'd shuffle them all off to Buffalo. But they're chanting in their mosques. They're a disgrace. Do you know they want to put me in a burqa? Could you see me in a burqa? Maybe Prince Charles, but not me.
Your Majesty, I understand that you knighted one of the Beatles. Which one was it?
It was the pimply-faced one, Paul McCartney. They wanted me to knight John Lennon, but I got to tell you a secret. I hate all those little bugs. I hate Beatles.
Well, how about Mickey Jagger? Would you knight him?
I'd rather see him with his tongue nailed to the gallows floor. The British invasion, they call themselves. They're nothing but a bunch of drug addicts. Yes, yes, snorting up the world. Was he the one with the purple sunglasses that married the Harry Carey girl. Was that him? John Lennon? Yes, that was him, I think. Yeah, he left to go to the United States because he didn't want to pay the vigorish to the Queen.
What do you think of Prince Charles marrying Camilla Parker Bowles?
Oh, that's her name, is it? I thought it was Bowles. She has a face like a bowel. Not since Henry VIII have I seen such a horse. Yes, she makes Anna Cleves look like Marilyn Monroe. Yes, do you know that they tried to pass a law that parents could go to jail for spanking their children? Did you know that? Do you know when they wanted to pass it? They wanted to pass it on a Friday night, but they postponed it because over the weekend Camilla wanted to punish Charles. He had been naughty again. He had to wear those long stockings.
Well, Your Majesty, we thank you for your time. And are there any other states you're going to visit?
Oh, yes, I'm going to Arizona. I'm going to support the people of Arizona. They're the only ones that know what's going on in this country. I love white people, especially the Mexicans.
Your Majesty, did you ever meet Bill Clinton when he was hiding out in London, avoiding the draft?
Oh, yes, I met the bugger. He was bumming marijuana cigarettes on the street, wearing a beard, protesting the war. Boy, what a two-faced bastard he is. He'd sell his mother for a tin whistle. I understand he made $137 million in government. Oh, and he didn't even take up a second collection. And he got a golden saxophone from an Israeli agent who sells arms to the Iranians. He groped me one time on the reception line. Then he said, "I'm sorry, I thought you were Captain Willie." He wanted to know if I deliver pizza wearing a beret. But his wife is the real McCoy. She really is. You know, she's in the book of Revelation. Yes, she's going to be the next president. It's in the book of Revelation. And a beast will appear in the sky. And will have seven heads. And her tail will sweep the stars from the heavens.
Well, that's all the time we have today, Your Majesty. We do thank you for dropping in. Would you like a cup of tea?
Oh, yes, I love tea parties. I hope the Tea Party wins in November. Get rid of all those bums.
That's it, folks. www.spiritofamericapartyradioshow.com. You heard it here first. Except no...